Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you get aboard on a Wednesday. Lot to get to. Elliot Shore Parks joins us 1 hour from now. We will talk about the first episode of Hard Knocks NFCs, which featured the Eagles in a big way. Darius Slay is available again. Hey. We'll get to that. Is it time to bring him home? Jason Avant joins us for the lunch hour at 1 o'clock. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, Joe, just for a minute, guys, just allow me to long talk, because it's something that I want to talk about that's been kind of on my mind a little bit. First of all, I want to give a shout out to my man Greg at United Tire, and this kind of how it kind of ties into this.
Okay.
Went to United Tire yesterday out in Downingtown. Great place, man. Very, very nice guy. Very hospitable. And it got me to thinking, right, we need to do better. You know, because that was the first time that I met him, and I was thinking, we need to do better. You know, we in this social media space, and a lot of times, you know, things are said that we say that you might not agree with, and people say it's a lot of vitriol, and, you know, you say mean stuff, and that's fine. You don't have to agree with what I'm saying. But when you get to the point where you're threatening people's lives and stuff like that over a disagreement, then you're a coward. You know what I mean? Because I'm talking about the ones in the social media space. You know why I call you a coward? Because you're the same cat that got a whole lot to say, but you don't have your profile picture up because you feel comfortable in the space that you're in because nobody knows who you are. You're the same cats that you don't want to egg somebody's house. How many eggs, Joe? 57?
Yeah, 57.
And you know what the thing about that is? You got enough bread to go out and buy 57 eggs to throw at somebody's house. So that means you have means, right? And then you have the nerve to go out and threaten somebody's life. You're a coward. You're a straight up and out coward. It's another word that I want to use, but I thank Odyssey for allowing me to be myself, and I'm going to keep that one. But you are some real cowards. It's okay to disagree with somebody. We disagree with people every day on this radio station.
Sure.
People call in and we go back and forth. And at the end of the day, we're still grown men behind that. But for you to go out your way and hide, because we used to call it back in the day in the South, throwing rocks and hiding hands. Mm. You are a coward. And for you to threaten a man because you don't like what he's doing and threaten his family and throw eggs at his house, I'm just going to keep with the word coward, but you know where I want to go with this. So we need to do better, man, because it's sports. At the end of the day, it's sports. Let's keep it the main thing, the main thing.
Let's keep the main thing, the main thing. 215-592-9494. Appreciate everyone out there keeping the main thing, the main thing. And that's what we're going to do with the Philadelphia Eagles. We had a lot of main things to talk about here with the Philadelphia Eagles. But here, look, this has not gone well. The last few weeks have gone poorly. Clearly it's not going well with the Eagles offense right now. And you said keep the main thing, right? And you said, let's talk about the issues that the Philadelphia Eagles have and try to get this thing back on track. And yesterday, we had a discussion about, you know, has anyone out there thought about the quarterback situation and what you're thinking about it? And to be fair, it's not only the quarterback, right? The quarterback's a part of it. But I said on Monday when the Eagles lost, you know, this past Friday to the Bears, when I left watching the game on Friday, the two people in my mind that cost them the game that I was most frustrated with were the quarterback. We spent plenty of time on him the last couple of days. But then also the head coach. And I think we have to have a discussion about Nick Sirianni. We really haven't had that many. We really haven't had that many since they won the Super Bowl, because Nick Sirianni kind of solidified himself. He won the Super Bowl, right? That's the end of story. But it's not the end of the story, because his job is to continue to win and to win with a roster that is given to him that is better than most rosters in the NFL. And Hugh, I think we're at a weird part with Nick Sirianni and his tenure as Eagles coach, because resume-wise, he's untouchable, right? Resume-wise, look at his 5 years with the Eagles. Look what he's done. They're probably going back to the playoffs this year. But I just want to present something, because I'm curious what the Eagles would do. I'm curious what everyone out there would do if this happens. Worst case scenario, Hugh, if things go wrong down the stretch of the season and the Eagles collapse the way they did 2 years ago, is Nick Sirianni completely safe for everyone out there in terms of no matter what, he keeps the job, no matter what, he's the head coach next year? Because if that happens, and again, I don't think we're going there, but we certainly have some signs that things are going the wrong way. If they collapse, we have two collapses in 3 years, sandwiched by an incredible run to win a Super Bowl, but two collapses in 3 years. We continue to be on the roller coaster of offensive coordinators. Like, what is the end game here? Petullo gets fired. They bring in another former head coach or play caller, like the next Kellen Moore, the next Shane Steichen. I don't know who that is. Is it Kevin Stefanski? Is it Mike McDaniel? I don't know. And then that guy does well, and he becomes a head coach. And then we're continuing on this path the next few years. Like, what is the continuity here? The guy doesn't call plays. It's not really his offense, but it kind of is his offense. We go up, we go down the last few years. I'm going to put it very simply. If they collapse and I'm Jeff Lurie, I have to take a serious look at the future. Not his resume. His resume is good. Very good. But I got to have a serious discussion in my own mind. If I'm Jeff Lurie, am I on the right path? Is this the path to sustainable excellence? Because it doesn't feel like it with the up and down nature of the offense. And I just want to point out some numbers, and then I want everyone's take on this. 215-592-9494. If you go back and look at Jeff Lurie's history as the owner, when they are this bad on offense, something big usually changes. And what I mean by that is, if you exclude the years where it's the coach's first year, right? You kind of give a coach grace in his first year. Sirianni's first year, Andy's first year, Doug's first year. You give him grace. I can't find a time where a coach with the Eagles stayed under Jeffrey Lurie where the offense was this bad. Right now, they're 19th in points, 24th in yards. If you go find the other years that are similar to this, ready for these years, they might ring a bell. 2020, what happened to Doug? Out. 2012, what happened to Andy? Out. 1998, what happened to Ray Rhodes? Out. If you exclude the first year, because you give the coach grace, Hugh, any time an offense has been this bad, the coach gets fired under Jeffrey Lurie. If this doesn't get back on track and they collapse, I think anything's on the table here for the Philadelphia Eagles. And if I'm Jeff Lurie, I'm thinking about everything. 215-592-9494. Hugh, where do you come down on Sirianni if things go bad the rest of the season?
You give me a lot to digest, Joe. And I have to long talk once again.
Go ahead.
I hear what you're saying. And there is a precedent here, especially in the city of Philadelphia. But I think that you're forgetting there were some variables in all of those equations.
Yeah, of course there were.
That, you know, warranted the firing of all the coaches.
Ray and Andy and Doug.
And Doug.
Yep.
You know, so there's that. I feel like Nick Sirianni's gotten grace because of a few things. Nick Sirianni was in this position last year, if I'm not mistaken, where there was a lot of speculation recklessly about who he was and what he does and all this other stuff.
He was on the hot seat.
Yeah, so much. So, yeah. So, to me, on the outside looking in, because that's all I have, is me on the outside looking in, not fully knowing what's going on in the Eagles organization. But for him to handle that tumultuous situation with the speculation of whether or not he was going to be here and all this other good stuff, for him to weather that storm, not only weather that storm, but right the ship so much that they took this trip to the Super Bowl and won it. That, to me, tells me that regardless of what we think about Coach Sirianni outside that building, he is a stable force inside that building.
So you say that, but how do I reconcile two collapses in 3 years if he's a stable force? Like, again, if things go bad, that's the premise. If they make the playoffs and win a playoff game or two or go back to the Super Bowl, of course he's the coach next year. That's unquestioned. I'm saying worst case scenario. If they don't win three out of their last five, they might miss the playoffs. Like, yeah. We were all on the same page there, right? Yeah. If they fall to 10-7 from starting 8-2, they could miss the playoffs. If that happens, how do you reconcile two collapses in 3 years?
Okay, but here's the thing, Joe. Two collapses in 3 years. But even in those collapses, there has been a tumultuous time when he's been able to right the ship. Like, you know, like at the end of the day.
But not the collapse years.
But here's the thing. Even in that first year that you're talking about, you made it to the playoffs. It's pretty good.
Oh, no, they were 10-1.
Listen to what I'm saying. Now, it's not good when you're talking about the expectations of the fan base.
Well, what are the expectations of the owner and the GM?
The perfect example. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you went there because I was about to do this. Pittsburgh Steelers calling for Mike Tomlin head, the fan base.
Yep.
Mike Tomlin technically has not had a losing season since he's been a coach.
And he might not again. They're 6-6. He might get to 9-8.
He has not. And he's found ways to get his team into the playoffs damn near every year when there was speculation about whether or not he should be the coach. Mm-hmm. That's not that historic fan base's ceiling. It's not. But they're relative. And the thing that you have to understand is that if you get the right pieces, just like they got Aaron Rodgers this year. Now, he's not the right piece, but he's a piece that put them in, that made them relevant. You get the right piece and you push the right buttons, you could be in any hunt. Prime example, Drake May, New England Patriots.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So I feel like, and I say all that to say this, that it's hard to find somebody who has that kind of chemistry. And I think Coach Sirianni gets a pass because he's that guy.
I get it. But I just think the Eagles' expectations are higher. Like, in the hunt is not where they are now. We talked before the season of becoming a dynasty.
Yes.
And I don't know how, with the up and down nature of the offense, different coordinators every year, the head coach having no control over the offense, they're going to sustain to be a dynasty. 215-592-9494. I didn't think we'd have this conversation this season. I honestly didn't. But if they collapse again, no matter what, is Sirianni safe? For me, he's not. 215-592-9494. All right, let's hear from Sirianni on the morning show talking about, well, those keywords, those buzzwords he likes to use. Let's hear him.
What's the number one thing you need to do to rehabilitate the culture of the team, you know, coming off of those back-to-back losses that you mentioned there?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, John. You know, it's not like when you're going through hard times, you're like, you double down on tough detail together. When you're going through good times, you double down on tough detail together. If I was not consistent in my message with that and with the culture, then I wouldn't be doing my job, because culture is about, you know, setting a vision. You know, culture is about, you know, consistently, you know, being able to show what that vision looks like. And culture is about being relentless and living it yourself, you know, being relentless with everything and living it yourself. And so, you know, through the ups, through the downs, because we all want consistency, right? We all want consistency on the field. But most importantly, I think players want consistency from me. I want consistency from them. And we'll double down on the things that, you know, win, lose, you know, draw. We're going to double down on tough detail together and be relentless with it as we go.
So I appreciate Sirianni trying to be consistent. He's tried to do that since he got here with his core
tough
values.
Tough detail together, Joe. Tough detail together.
Can I just quickly unpack those three words?
Yes.
When you watched the game on Friday, did the Eagles look tough, detailed, or together? They didn't look tough. They got their asses kicked. They didn't look detailed because they're not on the same page on basic plays. And they haven't been together the entire season. Like, that, this is what the guy says he keeps preaching. It doesn't look like any of those things to me. I don't see tough. I don't see detailed. I don't see together. Now, this could change the next 5 weeks. They could reel off five wins in a row, be the number one or number two seed, and we look back and we laugh at me for even bringing this up. But right now, they don't look that way. They didn't look that way at the end of 23. They looked that way last year. I have no idea how to unpack a coach that could have two collapses sandwiched by a Super Bowl. I have no idea. I have no idea what the Eagles think about this. All I know is we think this could be a dynasty, and this is too rocky for me. 215-592-9494.
You're not built for this.
Well, I am. I don't know if the Eagles are. I don't know if this is. Is this the best path to maximize the talent? The Sirianni coached, different coordinator every year, roller coaster of an offense. Is this the best path?
No, I would like more stability when it comes to the coordinator. But the bottom line is this: 5 years, two Super Bowl appearances, playoffs every year. Joe, that's relevant. Like at the end of the day,
I think the Eagles have graduated past wanting to be relevant.
No, I get what you're saying.
That feels like a low bar, relevant.
But you're one of the story franchises in the NFL. But that's where we are. When we talk about historic franchises, you know what was funny? Because we watched Hard Knocks last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot the exact wording that they used. But it was something to the effect that, like, say, premium real estate in the NFL, like the premium division.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
In the NFL.
Well, they talk about all the Super Bowls, the division is won, now you add it all together.
Premium
sure.
Division.
Yeah.
That's what the Eagles are. And every year, whether you like it or not, the Eagles are one of those teams that when you talk about that has a chance, mm-hmm. they have a chance. That's what
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What you won in the NFL.
See, I think the Eagles are big. I think the Eagles, this is just my interpretation. They've graduated above being relevant. They became relevant. Andy got you guys to relevancy. Mm-hmm. Now I think they think of themselves as the next great franchise.
No, they do.
Well, then, but then.
But you have to stay relevant. That's the point that I'm
making. Yeah, I think relevance is baked in now. I think they're aiming for bigger than that. And that's what makes me question the whole operation if it continues. All right, let's hear from Sheil Kapadia talking about one of those words that Sirianni brought up, detail. Sheil on WIP.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is just the lack of detail, kind of snap after snap after snap. And just what I'm talking about is, they run a motion with Dallas Goedert and Jordan, the timing of the snap, Jordan Mailata gets back in his pass set and he trips over him and he falls down. You have plays like that. You have receivers running routes in the same space where Jalen Hurts throws the football and they don't know which one it's going to. You have Devontae Smith and Jalen Hurts not on the same page on that big, big play that could have been a touchdown. You have a 2-point conversion where the offensive line is doing one thing and the rest of the team is doing one thing, and they're all looking at each other. So I call it a palms-up game where there were too many snaps. We're on film. You look around, and there's players with their palms up looking at each other going, wait, what? Wait, what were you doing on that? What? I thought the call was this, that kind of thing. So this was a very frustrating watch, even after the fact. I know it was frustrating for Eagles fans watching live. I would say it was as bad, if not worse, on film with this offense.
Sheil talking about detail. They're not detailed. They're not on the same page. I mean, that points back to coaching. And then Ray Didinger on Monday putting the blame on Nick Sirianni for what happened against the Bears.
Ultimately, it all falls on the head coach's plate, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I mean, it does. I mean, it does. I mean, you can say Kevin's calling the plays, but Sirianni's got the headset on. As the head coach, he has oversight. And listen, there were some things that happened here, and I know Petula has been getting killed all season. And in some cases, you know, I kind of get it. I do. I understand the frustration because this offense has been coughing and sputtering like a 57 Chevy since week one. I mean, we all know it, and it's been frustrating to everybody. And as the offensive coordinator, the guy who holds the cards and makes the calls, yeah, he's certainly responsible for it. But I mean, there were plays in this game, and there were things that were done in this game that had nothing to do with the call and had everything to do with the execution. And a lot of it went to the quarterback position. But, I mean, in that one series there, they have a big third down play, a really big third down play. And there's a really good call. They come out with a good formation. They make a really good call. It's a quick slant to your best receiver, Devontae Smith. He's open, and there it is. I mean, he's right there to catch this ball, not only convert the third down, but with a lane to get to the end zone. And the quarterback throws it behind him. He throws him an uncatchable ball. Well, you know, that's not on Petullo. Petullo was sending the right personnel. He called the right play. The quarterback didn't put the ball on the receiver.
Ultimately, it goes back to the head coach. You heard Ray Dittinger there. 215-592-9494. Is Nick Sirianni's job safe no matter what happens the rest of the season? It's not for me. I'd evaluate it if I was Jeff Fleury if this is a collapse. It is for Hugh. Kyle, where do you come down? Sirianni coming off a Super Bowl, but we might have our second collapse in 3 years.
If they collapse again a la 2023, all bets are off. I don't want to hear one thing about the Super Bowl that they won.
not one thing.
Well, like, I mean, I always thought Kevin Petullo was the easy target for people. He's the new guy.
Yep.
Right? And that seems to be the one major change from last season. But if you really look into it, it's been a very similar, the same struggling passing offense for a while now. And for a variety of reasons. But the constants are Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. And like, if Howie's going to be honest with himself this offseason, they go through this whole thing again, he has to look at everything. I mean, he has to look at the quarterback.
I do believe that would be the case. Everything would be looked at. Yeah, but
Hugh, they're going to have to do something unprecedented, and that's either move away from the quarterback or the head coach 1 year after winning a Super Bowl.
Like, if they finish 25th in offense, are we just going to shrug our shoulders?
They can't let that happen again.
Yeah,
they can't.
They can't.
And, like, this is the Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts show. I think that's very clear. Very clear. So they're going to have to change something. And to keep the same energy, as the kids say, that includes Nick Sirianni. It's Jalen Hurts. It's Nick Sirianni. Like, this thing has to start at the top.
You know how I look at this situation? Okay, like, both of you guys are in relationships, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your significant other, when you met them, you went out of your way to let them know that you wanted to be with them.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
That's how I feel about Nick Sirianni and the Eagles. Because I remember, it's funny, and this is old school, but when they changed the way that they dressed to accommodate him because he was on vacation with his family when he got here, that initially rubbed me the wrong way. Because when I thought about that moment, it was like, this guy has not done anything in the NFL, but they felt strongly enough about him that he didn't have to get dressed up for the interview.
It was funny.
They went to him.
Yeah, they dressed down for him.
Yeah, and so to me, it's the same thing. That's why when you talk about the success, and not only that, when you talk about what Coach Sirianni was before he got here, he was one of the young, innovative minds, offensive minds.
But he's not that.
But
Penn Johnson just showed us what that is.
Can I, and for everybody that's listening that's about to get in their feelings, don't, because I'm not taking a shot at anybody, but what I'm going to say is this. How do we know that? Because he's only had one quarterback the whole time he's been here.
So I understand that, but I think at some point, if he really was an offensive mind, he would have just called his own place.
Or
he keeps hiring. Like, we're going to get to the phones. I know there's a lot to unpack here. I'm thinking about the future, not what he's done. I know his resume. I can read his Wikipedia. I can read his Pro Football Reference. If I am Jeff Lurie, I'm sitting down after the season, how do we stop?
A lot of thought in this. Team.
How do we stop this from happening? And if the answer is, I'm going to go hire Kevin Stefanski because he got fired and he's a good offensive mind. You know what my answer is if I'm Jeff Lurie? Okay, Nick, a year from now after we go deep in the playoffs, because Kevin Stefanski gets our offense back on track, and then, you know, the Buffalo Bills hire Kevin Stefanski or whatever team you want to say.
Uh-huh.
What's then? This is a roller coaster because the head coach doesn't call the plays. I don't think this is ever going to stop. So how do we get off this train? 215-592-9494.
You're tired of being on the train.
I'm tired of the up and down because there's no continuity in the offense. Ken and Cinnaminson is up on WIP. What's up, Ken?
Good morning, Prince. How are you today?
Good morning, Ken.
First of all, Hugh, I just want to quickly say thank you for your opening soliloquy, and I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, we just got to be nicer to each other, man. We got to work on that.
All I'll say is hopefully one of these guys has a father like my father, because it'll be over pretty quickly. I don't think there's Nick Sirianni should absolutely, positively be safe, regardless of how this season ends. And look, I think you have to kind of read the tea leaves from, you know, what we hear, you know, coming out of the quote-unquote organization. So, you know, we haven't heard organizationally leaks about frustration with Nick Sirianni. What we've heard organizationally is leaks about the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we even heard that the Carson Wentz 2.0 reference, which everybody kind of choked on, but clearly the reference was, if they have to bench Jalen Hurts for performance at some point here down the stretch, and that's going to be an organizational decision. That's not going to be a Nick Sirianni decision. If they have to do that, there's no way Jalen Hurts is the quarterback next year. And look, I think Jeffrey Lurie is, and Howie are very comfortable with Nick Sirianni. I don't think that there's any suggestion, regardless how the season ends, there's no suggestion that Sirianni has somehow lost the locker room or the messaging is falling short. Nothing like that. This is about performance. This is about the fact that I think Kyle just brought it up, that your passing game has looked like this for a while.
Yep.
The thing that has always kind of puzzled me is how we get logically to, well, we have a new play caller every year, and the offense basically always looks like this. So it must be the play calling. Like, I don't know how you get there, as opposed to, well, we have a new play caller every year, and the offense really doesn't change.
Well, but Ken, we don't have a coach that could fix it. You're right. I mean, I understand your perspective, but like Ben Johnson walked into Chicago. They are one of the worst offenses for 20 years, and they're moving the ball up and down the field because of him.
But you also have to realize that Chicago was a unique situation because Chicago had weapons on that offense. I mean, you know, it's just that Matt Eberflus was just another in a string of really bad hiring decisions by a bad organization, which is what the Chicago Bears are.
Sure, but the coach, the head coach, just like Shanahan and McVay, like there are instant offense coaches. We don't have one.
Well, but we don't know. You just said it. We don't know that.
We do. Of course.
Don't know is, do we have an instant offense quarterback?
Ken, would you say Brock Purdy and Caleb Williams and Jared Goff? Now, maybe Goff because he went to a different place, but would you say all those guys are instant offense quarterbacks, or were they coached up?
I mean, Jared Goff has
okay. Let's eliminate Goff. Brock Purdy, Jimmy Garoppolo, Caleb Williams, who looked like garbage in his rookie year. I'm not sure these are instant offense quarterbacks. They've become that because their coach is delivering the offense.
But that's not what Nick Sirianni's job here is. Not. I mean, he is the CEO coach. If you want a CEO coach. And I like the idea of the CEO head coach.
So, Ken, I hear you, but they are bottom of the NFL in penalties. They have that infighting the whole year, finger pointing. So, can we preach the phone call? It's all like the whole foundation of why Sirianni is safe no matter what. It's falling apart, guys. Like, they are not tough. They're not detailed. They're not together. He's not an offensive guy. If I'm the owner, I've got questions if they collapse. 215-592-9494. Your phone call's on it. I know it's a bizarre question. I can't believe we're having the discussion. But if they collapse, is Sirianni safe? He wouldn't be for me. We're going to get a couple of clips from Saquon Barkley after the last two losses. What messes is he trying to send here with all of this? Your phone call's coming up. It is the Midday Show. Elliot joins us at 11 on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.